What is your why? Your why is what motivates you. It's what gets you out of bed when you've only had a few hours of sleep. It's what helps you bounce back and work even harder after a loss or a failure. My why is my name. Let me explain. My name is Michael Savage, but on my job, most people call me Savage for three reasons. One, because it's a dope name. I mean, come on. And number two, because there's always more than one Michael. Number three is because it's the name my father gave me. It's the name my mother and my wife proudly accepted as their own. It's also the name that I'll one day give to my children. When people call me Savage, I'm reminded that I represent my family, and my actions and character reflect them no matter where they are. That's my why. What's yours? Welcome to the Edge, folks. Let's get sharp.
Say their other half. This is Pastor Mike's wife that's speaking today. This is Desi Savage, really Desirita, but she goes by Desi. But you know what I found out, and I believe it's truly, it's not the half, it's the whole. It's two wholes becoming as one. And so we thank God that she stands as a woman, yes, God, in her own right, she stands as a woman of God, anointed and sold out to God and sold out and committed to her husband. And we thank God that they are one. At this time, praise God, we're going to turn it over into the hands of Sister Desi Savage.
Dang, that sounded like an intro from the Apollo. Like, come on down. Okay. Hi, everybody. So today, we're going to do things just a little bit differently. I want everybody to grab a piece of paper. And I want you to write down, like, literally going to take like 1 minute. And I know that there are things that God... that you have been asking God for, that you are expecting, that you are praying for in this year. So I want you to take a piece of paper and write down three things. And we're going to take like 1 minute. Three things that you are believing, like wholeheartedly in from the depths of your soul, you are believing God for. And I'm not talking about, it don't have to be like super spiritual things. If you are honestly, you want a new car, write that. So 1 minute. 1 minute. All right, time's up, pencils down. Okay, now we're going to set those aside because we're going to get to those in a minute. All right, so this year is special, unlike any other year. And I know in the beginning of the year in January, everybody's preaching, this year is the year, you know, whatever. But this year is special for a significant purpose. This year is 2022. 2022. So the number 22 is a master number. What that means is that number 2 means strength. So 22 means that extra strength. So this year, God is not only giving us extra strength this year, but he's also giving us extra blessings. So and when I first started researching this, and I'm like, all right, God, that's cool. That sounds fun. But what does that mean for me? What does that mean for my family, your people? Like, what does that mean? It means, this is what he told me, that God is ready to dump both arms out on blessings down on you. He is willing and able to give you double of what you are looking for. But the question is, are you willing to give him double? Okay. Now, in order to get, you got to give. So you want these things from God. You are expecting these things. You are praying for these things. You are believing for these things. Now, whatever they are. But to get, you got to give. And there is one, only one thing that God wants from you. And that's you. God wants you to give yourself to him wholeheartedly over. To trust him, to believe him, to do what he tells you to do. That's the one thing that God is requiring. So you give that and you can get. Right? So this year, God has been dealing with me with three specific things. Right? And this is not part of the message, but I'm gonna just say it. So he's been dealing with me with trust, obedience, and faith. This is what he told me. And this is what I say every morning. Trust to know that he has everything under control, regardless of what it looks like. Obedience to do what he told me to do, regardless of how I feel. And three, faith in his ability is not my own. Right? So these are the three things that God has been working on me with this year. So everything that you hear me talk about, like whether it's in a conversation, in a message, whatever, they have to do with those three things. Trust, obedience, and faith. So this message, ready? It's about obedience. So we're going to start in chapter 22 of Numbers. I'm going to just give like a brief overview of 22 and then we're going to read 23. So 22, we have Balaam and Balak. Yes. So Balak is the king and he sees the children of Israel like coming, right? He's like, oh snap. I heard what these people are doing. I need some help. So he sends a messenger to Balaam, like, I need you to come and help me, please. Okay? I need you to come and curse these people so they don't take my stuff. Or they don't take, you know, take me over or whatever. So he sends a messenger. The messenger goes, talks to him, and Balaam, and he's like, all right, spend the night. I'll see what God say. If God say I can go, then I'll go with you, no problem. So he goes, so that night, everybody goes to sleep. An angel comes to him and says, nah, son, you ain't going nowhere. Stay right where you are. You're not going. So the next morning, he's like, all right, I'm not going. Sorry. So they go back to the king. The king is like, what do you mean he's not coming? Like, all right, I'm going to send people of higher authority. I'm going to send more of them. And I'm going to offer him, like, anything he wants. I'm going to make him the richest man I can under myself. So they come back. The higher officials, they tell him what he said, and he said the same thing. All right, listen, I'll tell you in the morning. So they spend the night, and the angel comes to him and says, you know what? They're so persistent. You can go. But you will only speak what I tell you to speak. You're not going to do this for money. You're not going to do this for fame. You're not going to do this because you're afraid that the king going to send warriors after you next. You're going to go. And you're only going to say what I tell you to say. So, all right. We know the rest of the story with the donkey on the road and how God let the donkey, had the donkey talk to him and all that other stuff. So now we're going to move on to, we're going to go to chapter 23. If I get somebody to read chapter 23, 1 through 12, just get that ready for me.
I have it.
Okay, perfect. You can start. Thank you.
So I'm in the NIV.
Perfect.
Okay, so Balaam said, build me seven altars here and prepare seven bulls and seven rams for me. Balak did as Balaam said, and the two of them offered a bull and a ram on each other, on each altar. Then Balaam said to Balak, stay here beside your offer while I go aside. Perhaps the Lord will come to meet with me. Whatever he reveals to me, I will tell you. Then he went off to a barren height. God met with him, and Balaam said, I have prepared 7 altars, and on each altar I have offered a bull and a ram. The Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth and said, go back to Balak and give him this word. So he went back to him and found him standing beside his altar with all the Moabite officials. Then Balaam spoke his message. Balak brought me from Aram and the king of Moab from the eastern mountains. Come, he said, curse Jacob for me. Come, denounce Israel. How can I curse those who God has not cursed? How can I denounce those whom the Lord has not denounced? From the rocky peaks I see them. From the heights I view them. I see a people who live apart and do not consider themselves one of the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob, or number even a fourth of Israel? Let me die the death of righteous, and may my final end be like theirs. Balak said to Balaam, what have you done to me? I want you to curse my enemies, but you have done nothing but bless them. He answered, must I not speak what the Lord puts in my mouth?
Thank you. So that was the standard being set. God said, they set themselves apart. They trust me. They love me. So why would I curse them? Of course not. They're going to get my blessings. They're going to get my protection. So the standard was set. God said, this is what it is. Set yourself apart. Trust me. Have faith in me. Be obedient to my word and walk in it. And I will protect you. I will trust you. I will make your enemies run from you. All right. Now somebody can read 13 through 26.
I got it for you. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Then King Balak told him, come with me to another place. There you will see another part of the nation of Israel, but not all of them. Curse at least that many. So Balak took Balaam to the plateau of Zephoram on Pigash Peak. He built 7 altars there and offered a young bull and a ram on each altar. Then Balaam said to the king, stand here by your burnt offering while I go over there to meet the Lord. And the Lord met Balaam and gave him a message. Then he said, go back to Balak and give him my message. So Balaam returned and found the king standing beside his burnt offerings with all the officials of Moab. What did the Lord say? Balaam asked eagerly. This was the message Balak delivered. Rise up, Balak, and listen. Hear me, son of Zippor. God is not a man, so he does not lie. He is not human, so he does not change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried it through? Listen, I received a command to bless. God has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. No misfortune is in his plan for Jacob. No trouble is in store for Israel. For the Lord their God is with them. He has been proclaimed their king. God brought them out of Egypt. For them he is as strong as a wild ox. No curse can touch Jacob. No magic has any power against Israel. For now it will be said of Jacob, what wonders God has done of Israel. These people rise up like a lioness, like a majestic lion rousing itself. They refuse to rest until they have feasted on prey, drinking the blood of the slaughter. Then Balak said to Balaam, fine, but if you won't curse them, at least don't bless them. But Balaam replied to Balak, didn't I tell you that I can do only what the Lord tells me?
So, the second message was, God said, I said what I said. I'm not changing it. They set themselves apart. It's my job as their God to protect them. I said what I said. There's nothing that you can say as the king. There's nothing that those officials next to you can say that's going to change what I said. I'm not a man that I should lie. I said what I said. Move on. So if I can get somebody to read 23, 27 through 24, verse 10. Yes.
Okay, somebody else is going to read?
Go ahead, Dima.
Okay, what was this verse again?
Chapter 23, verse 27 through 24, verse 10.
Okay. 27. And Balaam said unto Balaam, come, I pray thee, I will bring thee unto another place. King James, peradventure it will please God that thou mayest curse me them from thence. And Balaam brought Balaam unto the top of Peor that looked toward Jeshimon. And Balaam said unto Balak, build me here 7 altars, and prepare me here 7 bullocks and 7 rams. And Balaam did as Balaam had said, and offered a bullock and a ram on every altar. Okay, give me further instruction, Desi.
Was that 24 through 10?
That was 28, so she needs to go to 24.
Okay, so go to chapter 24, 1 through 10.
Okay, gotcha. Here I am, 24. And when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he went not as at other times to seek for enchantment, but he set his face toward the wilderness. And Balaam lifted up his eyes, and he saw Israel abiding in his tents, according to their tribes, and the Spirit of God came upon him. And he took up his parable and said, Balaam, the son of Beor, has said, and the man whose eyes are open has said, he has said which word, which heard the words of God, which saw the vision of the Almighty, fallen into a trance, but having his eyes open. How godly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacle, O Israel. As the valleys are, they spread forth as gardens by the riverside, as the trees of Legum aloe, which the Lord has planted, and as cedar trees beside the waters. He shall pour the waters out of his buckets, and his seed shall be in many waters, and his king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. God brought him forth out of Egypt. He has, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. He shall eat up the nations, his enemies, and shall break their bones and pierce them through with their arrows. He crouched, he lay down as a lion and as a great lion. Who shall stir him up? Blessed is he that blesseth thee, and the curse is he that curseth thee. And Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam, and he smote his hands together. And Balak said unto Balaam, I call thee to curse my enemies, and behold, thou hast altogether blessed them these 3 times. Amen. Praise God. I love it.
So in the new translation version, he talks about, like, he turns them around and he says, look at all this. Look how beautiful their tents are. Look how well landscaped the grounds are. Look how good they eat. Look at all these things. Mind you, behind him is an entire kingdom. Like, he got a castle. He got gold. He got silver. He got cattle. He got everything. Behind him is the kingdom. In front of him are a bunch of people sleeping in tents. And he is, like, it's a flex. God is like, look how beautiful all that is. He basically said to him, these people are blessed. Everything that they touch is amazing. It don't matter you got money. All of that is about to be theirs in a hot minute. So it don't matter who you are. Don't matter what you say. Don't matter what you look like. If God said it's theirs. So God is like, it's mine. And it didn't matter how many times the king changed his position. He said, look at these people. Look at that side. Look at this side. Look in front of us. Look over the hills. God didn't change his position. God said, these people are blessed because they trust me. And that is the end of the story. So he got mad and he was like, let me tell you something, Balaam. Okay? He was like, I asked you here for a specific purpose and you did not fulfill it. And Balak said, yes, I did. I told you I was only coming to say what God told me to say. And he was like, just get out of my face and go. And he was like, peace. Right? So, what is the message that I'm trying to convey? What is the message that God was giving me for everybody here? Let God use you as his vessel to be on the receiving end of the blessing. The Israelites down on the ground, camping, eating, sleeping, they had no idea what was happening above them. They had no idea that Balak had sent for Balaam. They had no idea that God was speaking to Balaam, to Balak about them. They had no idea. They was just down there like, you want figs or you want peaches for snack today. They did not fight their own battle. They did not have to go up there and explain to Balak, this is what God said to me. This is what I am here for. This is what I'm going to do. They did none of that. They just rested in the last place that God told them to be. They rested where God told them to be. And they did the last thing that God told them to do until he gave them new instructions. And that's what we need to do. We need to trust God that he knows what he's doing, even regardless of what it looks like. We need to be obedient to his word. Be obedient to what he told us to do, regardless of how we feel. And we need to have faith in him and faith that he is going to do and bring us to what he said he was going to do. Okay. The last thing I'm going to say is this is the prayer that God has been having me pray. Now, mind you, I'm going to say this one thing. It's dangerous. It's scary. This is a prayer of straight surrender. And this is... Sorry. This is a prayer of straight undertaking. This is going to sweep you off your feet. Now, it's like I said, it's dangerous. If you're not ready for that kind of danger, that kind of intimacy, you know, don't say it. But if you are ready to jump, if you are ready to tread in waters where they are too deep for mere man to tread, that God is calling you out that deep, this is the prayer that God has been having me pray for the last couple days. If you are brave, you repeat after me. I am a messenger of God. My eyes see clearly. I hear the word of God who has knowledge from Most High, from the Most High. I see vision from the Almighty and I bow in worship to see what is real. Use me as your vessel. Lord, I'm ready to speak only what you tell me to speak. I'm ready to go where you lead me. And I'm ready to do what you told me to do. I will rest in this place of obedience until you give me further instructions. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. That's it.
What is up, good people? This is Mike Savage, and I wanted to come on and personally thank you for listening to my podcast. Do me a favor. If you enjoyed it, give it 5 stars. If you know somebody who needs to hear this message, share it with them. If you want to keep up with my content, follow me on Instagram at razorsedge_podcast and on Facebook at Savage Lifestyle Solutions. If you want to reach me or book me to speak, reach out to me by my email address, michaelsavagespeaks@gmail.com. I love you, and I look forward to hearing from you.